When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill. This is Coombe Cassis for IFL TV in association with MTK Global. Sunday morning, first of all, I want to say to you, I appreciate you doing this morning.
You're such a prick. You know what? I left last night. I said to Umar, and he was busy. Like, I don't want to grass him up, but he was grafting, right? We did our new show, which I don't know if you saw it. Worked really well. Numbers were really big for us. And I said, Umar came up to me, went, Can I grab you? I went, I'm just doing this show. I'll do it after. Finished the show. Looked around. No Umar. Thought, now's the opportunity to slip off. In the car for 2 or 3 minutes. Coogan and Cassius. Missed call. Oh, fuck's sake. Go out. Stop on the A406 to get a bit of petrol. Get back in the car. Rings again. Mate, have you left? Have you left, mate? Because, like, we've got to go. Mate, I said, I've left. No, mate, you got to do it tomorrow. You got, like you say to me, like, it would be a disaster if we didn't get it. It's like, what, for me or for you?
For me.
Do you know what I mean? Right, okay, fair enough. Because the way you try and pitch it to me is that it would be a disaster for me.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely not. No, it is a disaster not to get kind of one of the main people of the night, even though you're not fighting, but it is a disaster. But anyway, appreciate
you. No, I'm here, mate. I'm here, no problem. It's 20 past 11. Didn't sleep last night, really, but I'm ready for you, mate. I'm ready for you.
Okay, so let's roll straight into it. Again, produced another, eventful, action-packed, whatever you want to call it, everything that show last night, similar to obviously your first show back with Warrington and Lara the week before. But let's start with Josh Kelly and Avanesian. And I mean, this is not a shock, is it, what happened? This was a 50-50 fight.
Yeah, sorry, I've got my little dog here. He's just trying to... I think he can hear you. And I think he feels like it's an imposter in the house or something like that. I was like, oi.
All right, mate.
All right, son. Go on, off you go. Go on, off you go. Go on. All right. I think it's surprising, really, because the reaction was that it was a shock. Do you know what I mean? And it wasn't, was it? Let's be honest. Like you said, it was a 50-50 fight. I do feel like people, as the week went on, I mean, you know, myself speaking to Adam Booth, seeing the shape that Josh Kelly was in, I felt that he was a slight favourite going into the fight. But you know, when you look at the pedigree of David Avanesian and you know the level that he's operated at, it was a 50-50 fight and it was an incredible fight. And I said in the build-up, I've not seen two teams so confident. you know, you got Neil Marsh, you got Carl Greaves. They never thought for one second they would lose that fight. And Adam Booth was so confident because of the work that Josh had put in, the shape that he was in, what he was showing in the gym. And, you know, it was just a brilliant fight and capping off a brilliant night.
What went wrong for Josh Kelly, in your opinion, last night?
I don't think the cuts helped. I mean, I think the cut, you know, I spoke to him this morning and he said that he felt, you know, weak at the end of the fifth round. He was losing so much blood in the back of his head. Was that an issue? Yeah, I think it was. Was the weight an issue, maybe? Or was the toughness of David Avanesyan an issue? I mean, let's not, you know, I think last week we spent a long time, didn't we, analysing why Josh Warrington got beat. Instead of saying, what a great performance from a young Mexican in Mexico, in Mauricio Lara. And I think, again, we need to also give massive credit to David Avanesyan. He looked like a man on a mission last night, I thought, didn't you? I mean, he just looked like a guy that wasn't going to be denied. And I think when you have a fight that everyone predicts is going to be Josh Kelly early and it's all about the back six, you have to do damage in that first six. Do you understand? To stop that fighter being able to control the pace of the last six. And when Josh Kelly went back to the corner after the first round, he had swelling on his eye. You know, then he had a cut on the back of his head. Then he had a cut on his head. I think one of them was heads. But it doesn't matter. He was roughing him up and he was making sure that when he got him on that back stretch, which they only just got to, that he was war-torn. And was it little bit of professional inexperience? Was it that he wasn't good enough on the night? I mean, you know, again, this is why we do, like I said about, you know, the show last night. You could talk about it for hours, but that's when you've got or you've had a great fight, is when you can debate what happened, who's going where, coulda, woulda, shoulda. But in the end, we have to give credit to the better man, and that was David Avanesyan.
What next for either or then with Josh? Is there a possibility he could go up in weight? It looks huge at the weight.
Yeah.
Possibly he could move up to 154?
I think so. I mean, I hope that Josh doesn't lose heart with it. You know, I think Josh Kelly was really confident. You know, Josh Kelly believes that he's a world-class fighter, and I believe he is as well. And just because you lost to another world-class fighter, and again, I hope people give Josh the credit for stepping up for that kind of fight. Do you know what I mean? Because he could have had another two or three easy fights, but ultimately he believed he was good enough to take that leap. So did his team, and he came up short on the night. There's no disgrace in that, losing to a world-class fighter in Avanesyan. I think that Josh Kelly's, you know, when we talk about the weight, I don't see everything behind the scenes, but the impression that I got was that he made the weight better than he's probably ever made that 147 limit. He had a great camp. He was in tremendous shape, so no excuses, but he is huge at 147. You know, God knows how much weight he puts on. By the time he gets in the ring. But I would like to see him move to 154 because I think he'll be more comfortable up there. He may be more robust as well. And when you look at the division, especially domestically, you know, and I know Josh is looking beyond domestic and he should do, but when he comes back, once you start linking him in with, you know, Cheeseman, Eggington, Fowler, Fitzgerald, Metcalf, oi! Then, there's some great fights, isn't there? So I think it's something that he should look at moving to 54. But he will, you know, it's going to take him a while to get over this. He's going to be really disappointed because, you know, he believed this was the start of a huge year for him. And now it's going to be about the comeback.
Do you see a need at any point for him to rematch him?
I think he'll want to. I mean, again, you know, going into the fight, like I said, you know, he said to me that he just didn't feel strong or right, you know, going into, I think, the fifth round, and he was losing a lot of blood. So they've got to look at that. But again, I don't think you can make excuses like that. You know, he was out-hustled, he was out-balled by a very strong fighter in David Avanesyan. So I don't think that, you know, he'll want to rematch him. And listen, it was a stunning fight, wasn't it? I mean, I know we only got six rounds, but he was up in the fight. But as I tweeted, I think, a round before, Avanesyan was coming like a train. And he's strong and he can punch, you know. And when you talk about for Avanesyan, I think we should look to get him a world title fight now. You know, I think he's boxed at that level before. I think he's improved. Everybody knows how tough he is. Everyone knows how hard he punches. And I think he deserves that. And that was a massive win for him. And you know, I was really pleased for Carl Greve as well, because they, you know, they live it. They live it together. And it's only a small team of people that are constantly working towards improving their lives and chasing a dream. And you've got to respect and love that.
So you'll be working with David Evanesian for his next three fights?
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure how many fights we've got left, but we've got a couple of fights left on the agreement. We signed him a while ago. Obviously, he boxed on our show in Madrid. And yeah, we'll sit down with Neil Marsh and see what he wants to do. I think there's some big fights out there for him. I think that, you know, again, the viewing figures were really strong last night, as they were the week before. And a lot of people were invested in that fight, you know, emotionally. And they wanted to be a part of it. And I think Avanesian gained a lot of fans last night, don't you? I mean, which British fight fan wouldn't want to see Avanesian fight again? Mm. You know, a lot of people talking about Avanesian against Conor Benn. That's a tough fight. But listen, if Conor Benn can beat Samuel Vargas on April 10th, there's a guy that maybe in two or three fights, Ben against Avanesian is a big fight, you know? So I think as long as we can keep putting on great fights and people are willing to take chances and they believe in themselves, we'll be fine and everyone will get great opportunities.
Just a final one on this, Kelly Avanesian. Adam Booth, absolutely correct to throw in the towel when he did.
Oh, yeah. Really, really good. I mean, Adam is a very smart trainer and, you know, I think he got to the point. He knew with the cut, he knew with Josh sort of, I guess, unravelling and hurt, that he could have got knocked out and he could have got knocked out badly. So if you're going to lose the fight and there's no way back and you can save your fighter from getting knocked out or badly beaten, then fantastic work. You know, Josh Kelly comes out of that fight last night with defeat, with a bruised ego, if you like, but without, you know, being severely hurt or being knocked out. So I think that, you know, again, it was more of a, you know, ego demolishment than a physical demolishment, which is always good to see.
You can kind of tie in the next thing I'm going to ask about all in one. So obviously the perfect person to have there last night was Conor Benn. Vested interest in, obviously, the Kelly Avanesian fight. But there's that Marco situation, who had an impressive win over a very game Ryland Charlton yesterday. But how does this all tie in there? It seems that Conor's not still interested in Marco. Marco's kind of saying last night after his win that he doesn't want to fight me. Is it? Are we going to get to a point where you can't really ignore this fight?
I think that this always happens in boxing, doesn't it? When you've got a guy that's sort of starting to fight world level guys or fringe world level guys, and they're looking at the major fights, and then you've got a fighter coming in, you know, 6 or 7-0, you know, calling out those big names in a division, and Marco is right to do it. You know, he's right to call those guys out. I thought Ryland Charlton was fantastic last night. I'd like to say that he's got a future with us 100%, because when you show that much bottle, when you show that much arsehole live on TV, you'll be back. And people love to watch you fight, right? So Florin Marco, for me, I think he's got every right to call out Conor Benn. And I think Conor Benn's got every right to say, look, I'm fighting Samuel Vargas. I want to go on and fight David Avanesian and these kind of guys. But if Florin Marco keeps winning and steps up the levels, and it was a good win last night, but there are many levels between Ryland Charlton and, you know, Samuel Vargas or Formella or these kind of guys. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun with Florin Marco, you know? And I think last night, although he says his legs got tangled and the knockdown, I don't think he was badly hurt. I thought he boxed really, really well. Really well. I thought it was a mature performance. I think he's technically underrated. I think he punches very hard as well. I think he can even move down to 140. But listen, when you talk about Marco against Benn, if the timing becomes right, and the timing becomes right by Marco winning bigger fights, right, then that fight becomes a big fight. And, you know, you could sell out the O2 like that to 18,000 Albanians, you know, that would come to watch that fight. So for me, it's not, I know it's there. I know it's potentially bubbling, but I don't see it as, I certainly don't see it as a 2021 fight. Because, you know, Conor he's going to fight Samuel Vargas, you know, potentially David Avanesian, or, you know, and keep moving in that direction. But I think that if Florian keeps putting in performances last night and has a few more big wins, I don't think you can ignore it.
Eddie, Sam Jones said today that he doesn't believe that Conor Benn has beaten anyone as good as Rylan Charlton.
I disagree with that. I think Formella is
maybe name wise, but opponent wise, just like level of opponent, he doesn't believe that Conor Benn is questioned. Has he beaten anyone better than Rylan Charlton?
I mean, it's difficult. You know, Rylan's only had what, 6 fights? He's 5 wins and a draw, or something like that. He's, you know, his best win is over Joe Laws. So you can debate it all you like, but all I know is that Conor Benn, he's ranked in the world. Conor Benn just beat Formella. Conor Benn's fighting Samuel Vargas. And listen, I've signed Florian Marcoux, so I'm not against it. I just know how the game works and know that, you know, when you're 7-0, 8-0 and you're chasing those big names, Florian's right to be calling out Conor Benn. And Conor Benn right now is right to say, look, this is what I'm doing. But as that becomes bigger, as more people start talking about it, of course, it's a fight that could make sense in the future. But not, I'm not talking 3 years. I'm just saying that right now, you know, the next couple of fights are mapped out for Conor Benn, but anything could happen. And I know one thing about Conor Benn is he'll fight everyone. I mean, Conor Benn, look, Conor Benn's not scared of Florian Marcoux. Let's just obviously get that out there. And Florian Marcoux ain't scared of Conor Benn. So maybe. But I know the plans for Conor and he's progressing perfectly.
What's an ideal opponent next for Florian Marcoux then?
Chris Jenkins. I mean, look, we got a fantastic welterweight fight coming up between Congo and Mickinson, haven't we? March 27th. It's a brilliant fight. Maybe, you know. But Florian's doing great. Look, Florian's, you know, got a deal with us. He's on Sky Sports. He's on DAZN all over the world. He's got a massive following. And his first fight with us was poor. Let's have it right. I mean, he beat Jamie Stewart, but somehow they gave it a draw. But it wasn't a good performance. Last night was a good performance. Last night was a performance where people are talking about Florian Marcoux. So he'd be fine, and we'll have a lot of fun with him. We really will.
Just a recap on the rest of the night. Obviously, a disappointing night for Robbie Davis Jr. Excellent win for Jordan Gill. Johnny Fisher, heavyweight. Pro debut looked good, but yeah, just a little recap on the rest of it, Ed.
Yeah, I thought, you know, starting off first, I thought Jordan Gill boxed really, really well. Really well. And that was the perfect opponent, you know. And listen, you've got to give massive, again, credit to the Mexicans who came over. Juarez didn't stop trying, did he? From the first round to the last. He was hurt in the last round as well. That was a perfect fight for Jordan Gill. I want to see Jordan Gill fight Isaac Lowe on the AJ Fury card. You know, we know that Fury will want Isaac on that card. I think that's a really good sort of show opener, if you like. Thought he boxed really nice. And I thought Johnny Fisher was great. You know, he makes me smile. He's such a nice fella. You know, after he said, I know I've got a long way to go, but I'm going to work really hard. I said, no, you are, mate. I said, and I thought, you know, I thought he boxed really well. And I said to him after, you know, Matt Gordon's the kind of guy that I thought he'd go 3 rounds with David Avalady. And, you know, I know that he's, you know, he's turning into a heavyweight journeyman, but it's how you deal with them, right? So if you struggle against Matt Gordon, it's not a great sign for a good young prospect. If you demolish him in a round, it's impressive. And that's what he did. I think he's got a great power, nice speed. They tell me his chin is better than Joe Joyce's, which is, you know, a bit freakish. So, and he's from Romford, which is even better.
Where it all started for you and your dad?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, Romford was the start of Matchroom, you know, it was the Matchroom gym. And I probably spent most of my life there, probably from, I don't know, 8, well, even younger than that, you know, going down a snooker hall at the Matchroom. So, you know as well, that when someone comes out of that kind of area, the support's massive.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that sponsor Johnny and they're involved with Johnny, and you can't help but love him. So I can't wait for crowds to return because I think he's going to be huge. But nice and slow with Johnny Fisher, you know. He's had, what, 4 amateur fights or something like that. So he's got a lot of potential, a lot of ability, but nice and slow. We'll do the right thing with him and S-Jam. And, you know, Sam's great. Sam gets so excited about everything, you know. Sam Jones reminds me a little bit of me when I started out, where I was just so, you know, engrossed by it all. And he's so enthusiastic and he really loves his fighters and, you know, and... But he also knows, although he bigs them all up, he also knows that we just have to go at the right pace. And there's a lot of work to do with Johnny Fisher. But we're all up for putting that work in. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think he's got a lot of potential. Robbie Davis Jr., cracking fight. Again, I'm not a, you know, king of the tactics, or I'm not... But I just don't know why he stayed southpaw for so long in that fight. You know, the one shot that kid had was a straight right hand. And he couldn't miss Robbie Davis all night long. And again, like I'm just a fan watching. But for me, you know, the best shot to hit a southpaw was a straight right hand down the pipe. And he just, that was the shot that was doing all the damage. I think Robbie deserves a lot of credit because he was badly hurt early on. And he came back in the fight. And I actually thought, at the end of the fight, I actually thought he might have nicked it. And then I tweeted that out and just got so much stick saying, no, Valenzuela. But it was a really, really close fight. And I thought the judge has done a good job. And Valenzuela had a big last round as well. Brilliant fight. You know, I don't think... I know losing is horrible, right? No one likes to lose. But if you've lost in a great fight and if you've... you know, given your all, there's no shame in it. And you can come again, you know. And ultimately, opportunities come from people wanting to watch you perform, wanting to watch you fight. So the answer is, would you like to see Robbie Davis in another fight? Yeah. Look at his fight last night. Tremendous fight. Look at his fight against Lewis Ritson. Fight of the year. Now, I know they didn't go his way, but Robbie Davis is always in entertaining fights. But I just think tactically, he got it wrong last night.
Obviously, there was a huge black mark and a bit of controversy last night. Have you got anything to say about it? Or
go on. What's this? Is this a gag?
No, it ain't a gag. It's just everyone was...
Go on. Go on.
I'm not.
Go
people on. Were talking about your V-neck Gucci. Like, what was all that about? You got any comment to make on that, mate?
Do you know what's unbelievable about that, right? Shouldn't really tell you this, but... Do you know how long I've had that V-neck?
Go on.
12 years. So if you look back at when Audley Harrison won Prize Fighter, all right, I was wearing it then, the same thing. And the story with that is I went into a shop called Zap in Buckhurst Hill.
No, Zap very well.
Quality. Yeah. Is he still going? Still yeah, yeah, great shop.
They've got a 40% sale on at the minute at Zap.
Have they?
Yeah, they have.
Really good shop. And it was something like, I think it was like 300 quid or something like that, which at the time was just massive. And I thought to myself, and the bloke in there was going to me, mate, it's camel hair. It's unbelievable. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I thought, oh. Anyway, I bought it. And I reckon I've only worn it about half a dozen times. But went into the cupboard last night and thought, should I put a suit on or should I go a bit casual? And I thought, how's the Gucci camel hair getting on? Cool, look at that. You know, when you pull something out, you think, I forgot about that. So yeah, 12 years in, it's still going strong. Quite a lot of stick for the V-neck Gucci, but what can you do?
I've made a bit of a ricket here.
Why?
Well, because I Googled your jumper yesterday, yeah? And I found it. I found one, yeah? And it was 1,500 quid.
Was it?
I tweeted and said...
Why don't you just buy mine off me? I'll sell it to you for 600.
No, I don't want it. But I'm just saying, I put a tweet out last night saying that you'd spent 1,500 quid on that jumper. But you
Well, it's not even a jumper, mate. It's sleeveless.
It's a what? Sleeveless?
Sleeveless. Yeah.
Oh, all right. But there's no way
you get a reduction.
300 quid for it?
What, yeah, was 12 years ago.
Yeah, but that wasn't that long ago. 300 quid. What,
12 years ago, mate.
All right, well, I apologise. Well, I just found one online and it said it was 1,500 quid.
I feel like I'm stuck between styles at the moment, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I'm 41 and through lockdown, I'm just like, I just want to wear tracksuits. I just want to wear tracksuits all the time. And I've sort of started dressing a lot more casual, but I'm kind of renowned for wearing sharp suits. But when I put on a sharp suit at the moment, where I'm a bit on the tubby side, they don't feel great. So I think I'm just going to wear tracksuits from there.
Yeah, whatever makes
you happy. Just be an old fat guy. Whatever makes you happy.
Whatever.
Got to be comfortable, yeah.
Nice Metrum.
Metrum hoodies are, I'm fine, mate. I'm actually going to start a little fitness buzz soon.
You say this in...
No, but I've got a bit of news coming on. I'm actually partnering up. I'm doing it properly, right? And I'm going to document it. And we're going to get ripped to shreds, mate. And you're going to do it with me.
What, like a fat club?
Well, I didn't really want to say that, mate. But yeah, basically.
This is the thing, right?
Is how many times do we talk about getting in shape? Oh, I'm good, you know. So this is it for me. This is my last roll of the dice. Because this is the point where it goes one way or the other. You know, I've worked my whole life just to stay fat. And this is it, mate.
You're not really fat, though, are you? You're like...
No, not really. But I'm not exactly ripped to shreds, am I? Do you know what I mean? At the same point. So I don't think I'll ever be ripped to shreds, really. But I want to lose a stone and a half. And I want to start working on... My arms are quite pathetic, really. Yeah. So I'd like to gain a little bit of muscle. And I'm going to give it a crack.
Well, we're genuinely
just putting that out there. You know, this is a bit of a counselling session at the same time. It just happens to go out to millions of people. But yeah, I'm going to do it soon. And if you all want to get involved with me, let's do it, eh? You can do it with me as well.
Okay, no problem. Eddie, just round off on a few things. Gibraltar, March 27th.
Yeah, baby, rumble on the rock. Let's go.
Yeah, Dillian White. How's that week going to work? I'm just curious to know how that...
So this is going to be unbelievable, right? So this is what we're going to do. And you're coming, right?
Yes.
Get this. We're going to go into the bubble in London, right? So we're all going to meet. So London, UK fighters, staff, production, right, everything. We're going to meet media. We're going to meet in the bubble, at the Wembley bubble, right?
Yeah.
Say on a Monday.
Yeah.
We're going to test on arrival.
Mm.
We're going to go into our rooms till everybody gets their results. The next morning, everybody that's negative will make their way via Matrim Transport to a private chartered plane, and we will fly the entire fighters, teams, everything into Gibraltar, where we will test again. And we will enter the new bubble in Gibraltar. And it is going to be a brilliant experience. Fans look like they will be allowed as well, which is fantastic. And was, you know, I think, important for this fight. It's just going to be an amazing experience. It's, you know, life's all about thinking outside the box. Life's all about taking chances, rolling the dice a little bit and doing things differently. And we were stuck with a position where Dillian White trains in Portugal, okay? It's a red list country. And when it went on the red list, he really had an option just a couple of weeks ago to come home. But he would have to isolate for 10 days. And it was just, you know, he said to me, I can't afford to lose this fight. My camp out here, everything is perfect. And then we looked at taking him from Portugal to Spain. Right. And he was going to move on last Friday. And he just said, I can't, you know, we were renting a villa. I was building a gym in the garden of the villa. And he just said, like, it's going to affect my preparation. And I can't go into this fight having jeopardized anything. So I spoke to the team, Povetkin, and, you know, they understood. Obviously, they pulled out previously with COVID. They were happy with Gibraltar. You know, the sports minister there, the chief minister, absolutely over the moon. And it's going to be a brilliant event, mate. It really is going to be an event that's going to fascinate a lot of people.
How are the board with this, the British board?
The board are, they're going to be the commission.
Yeah. But no, how are they about you going over to Gibraltar to do this?
Fine. Fine. I mean, they'll set up, you know, there's never been a major boxing event in Gibraltar. So there's a lot of things the board have got to be happy with, you know. Obviously, we're going to be bringing in the right doctors, the medical team, make sure that everything's set up for the local hospitals, et cetera, et cetera. And the board will be across that. But that's why, that's what they'll be really elected to do, you know, because we don't want to bring in a new commission that's never done a big fight before. And obviously, it's British territory as well, Gibraltar. So,
venue-wise, what is the venue here?
There's two or three that we're looking at the moment. There is the choice of an outdoor stadium there as well that they'd like us to look at. We've actually done quite a few events there before, Matchroom. We hold a big pool tournament there and other darts events and stuff like that. So we have a good relationship there with everybody, and we know the facilities, and the team are flying out this week to confirm which one we're going to use.
So how would it all work in regards to fans getting over? Do you know any of that?
That's something that we'll announce. I mean, Gibraltar has a population of about 35,000. And obviously, a lot of major businesses are set up there as well, and a lot of Brits there. So we'll make an announcement soon about tickets for the event. And obviously, in terms of people being allowed to travel to that event. And that'll be something decided by Gibraltar.
Okay, and the card remains the same.
Yes.
It's going to be on March the 6th.
There will be, and one more addition to the card as well, which we will announce this week.
What weight?
Cruiser.
Any more?
No.
Okay. So March the 6th now is a blank weekend for you.
It is actually, unfortunately, because we were going for the show every week. Next week is Canelo Alvarez and Yildirim at the Miami Dolphins, Tuesday.
Yep.
And then we've got Julio Cesar Martinez on there, Zhang, Pacheco, Kayshawn Davis, Espino, Mark Castro. And then the week after that is now a blank week. The week after that is Estrada, Chocolatito, Cecilia Brackhouse against McCaskill, Kyoguchi, World Championship triple header in Texas. The week after that is Ecole against Glowacki, Chantel Cameron against Hernandez, Chris Billum-Smith, et cetera, Joe Caldina. The week after that is Dillian White against Povetkin. And don't forget also, this weekend coming, he's not just Canelo Alvarez, it's also Joseph Parker against Junior Farr as well this weekend. So that's March 20th and then March 27th, in Gibraltar. And actually on the Friday night, we've got a big show in Spain with Gavin McDonald fighting for the European title and Kay Prosper fighting for the European title. That's the night before. We'll try and go to both of those, actually, if you fancy it. And then the week after that, we're in hopefully Uzbekistan to announce that show this week. The week after that is Conor Benn, which is April 10 against Sammy Vargas.
Wembley again?
Yes. No, it won't be. We'll be in the same hotel there, but the venue's not available on the 10th, so we're going to be in another venue for that show.
What, near there?
Yes. Yes. We're just working on finalising that at the moment.
Is that the same 20th?
No, March 20th is at Wembley. Yeah.
Right, got you.
April 17 looks like it could be, was going to be Haney, but it looks like that's going to be back a couple of weeks now. It looks like that's going to be Andrade against Williams, April 17. And then we'll be doing that.
Providence said.
Yes, subject to, you know, where we are in the world.
Yes.
From a COVID perspective. And then April 24 or March 1st will be our big show that we're looking to put together. And then obviously subject to Canelo winning on Saturday and subject to a few other bits and pieces that we'll finalise. May 8th will be the big one. Canelo Alvarez against Billy Joe Saunders.
Is Billy Joe coming out to Miami?
Yes.
Any updates on the big, big, big one?
No, mate. I'm not going to say too much other than, you know, we're very close now and hope to give you guys an announcement soon.
Was that it?
Yes, it.
Have you been told to button it or something?
No. Bob's great. Bob went on TalkSport and went, Eddie Hearn, you know, he's like a flowing river. He don't stop talking, blah, blah, blah. So I've said to him, don't talk about the fight. Anyway, at the moment, we've exchanged contracts. You know, we've only went on for about 10 minutes talking about the fight. No, I just think that, obviously, I've told people probably from 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, oh, we're a couple of weeks away. And I'd like a little lull before, you know, the big,
have you
the big moment.
The date, like an actual date?
For the fight?
Yeah.
No, just June at the moment.
And no venue or country is a front runner.
Yeah, those conversations have started now quite extensively. So this week we're going to be really picking up the pace on the site deals and deciding collectively where this will be held. That's it. No more for you.
Okay. Did you watch any of the other boxing on last night? Oscar Valdez is great.
No, I woke up to a message from Eddie Reynoso. And because obviously his fighter was Valenzuela who won, and he messaged me after that, and then he just messaged me. I woke up to one from him saying, "We are the champions," and I just watched a knockout. Wow, brutal knockout! Oh, shit, brutal knockout. Yeah, I mean he's on fire at the moment, isn't he? I don't want to sound like an Eddie Reynoso fanboy, but what a trainer he is. Unbelievable. And look at that team he's got in there at the moment. Valdez, Canelo, Ryan Garcia, Frank Sanchez, Andy Ruiz. You know, he's the man of the moment, isn't he? So, looking forward to catching up with him and Canelo this week.
Talking pyjamas and all that, yeah?
I'm going to wear my Dolce & Gabbana pyjamas to the weigh-in.
Are you actually? At the weigh-in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you watch Broner?
No, but I heard he lost.
What did you think?
I haven't seen the fight, but I followed like the social media and everyone said, oh, he's lost by a few rounds, and they gave it to him by five or six rounds, didn't they? Every judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably, I'll probably get the blame for that somehow, but...
I think it was 115, 112, 116, 111, and then yeah. There was a 117, 110.
I don't know. I just think he's a bit of a busted flush now, unless he's in a big fight. Still think Broner is incredibly entertaining. Did you hear his interview after? It was hilarious. Yeah. He was saying, like, he went down to his last $13, he said, and he's learned his lesson. Don't get me wrong, tonight we're popping bottles, cashing checks and something else, but having sex. And then, but Monday, we're back to the grind. Liked it. I like Broner. I think he's good for the game. Mm. But I just think, like, you just got to sling him in against a name, haven't you?
I'm surprised you never did more, like, anything with Broner over the years. Really?
Yeah, we were close quite a few times. I sent him an offer once and he just screenshotted it and posted it on his Instagram.
I remember that, yeah.
Remember that, yeah. It's a bit off, but Broner's Broner, isn't it? He's going to do what he's going to do. I like him, though. I think he's quite funny.
Eddie, your thoughts on Callum Johnson joining up with Frank Warren?
Yeah, I said I think it's a great move for him. I haven't spoke to Joe about him since, I don't know, September last year. Offered him a run out and the Boazzi fight. I didn't want to do it. And I think, you know, we've got nothing for him. And he needs to fight. He's a very good fighter. Heavy-handed. He hasn't boxed for 2 years. I think, was he 36 this year or something like that? So he's got to get out and fight. And I think, you know, if he can be a big fixture somewhere else, I think he's made a good decision.
Okay. Did you know Otto Wallin beat Dominic Brazil?
Oh, did he?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Shit. Or points or what?
I believe so. I think it was, by all accounts, a very one-sided fight.
Really?
Hmm.
Wallin's coming on, isn't he? That's a good look for Fury, because he struggled, obviously, against Wallin. So, I thought Brazil might win that fight. He's been a bit inactive, isn't he? And, like, obviously, he only had that 1 minute against Wilder or whatever it was, 2 minutes against Wilder. But, no, I might watch that back.
Okay, well, listen, I am going to let you crack on with your Sunday.
Yeah, by the way, you went to me, I just need 10 minutes. How long was that?
I don't know.
How long was that? What do you mean you don't know? It's on your thing.
15 minutes?
Yeah, right.
Come on, shot.
Just what my family wants, really, isn't it? You know, you've been out like at the bubble all week. You've been at the show all day. Oh, Sunday, it's good because we can all spend Sunday together as a family. Oh, no, we can't because Eddie's got to do an hour with Coogan Cassius.
Do you know the first thing, actually, I'll be honest with you, I went to my missus this morning, I've got to do something with Eddie today, and she went, what, today? What, really? I was like...
Mate, I'm not really bothered about you, I'm more bothered about me.
I'm bothered about me, aren't I?
You, how's fatherhood?
I've been a dad for 6 days.
I know, liking it?
Yeah, she's all right. She's all right, she's... Hang on a minute.
You liking it, mate, being a father for the first time? Yeah, she's all right. Yeah, she's... No, the answer was, mate, it's changed my life. I wake up every morning, every time I see her, I just have a tear in my eye, I feel the emotion. You know, yeah, she's all right, isn't she? Yeah.
No, I meant she sleeps well and she don't... She's really? Not too much
active. Yeah, but it's early days, mate. It's early days. Wait, just wait.
Were you doing bottle feeds in the middle of the night? What, definitely?
Mm-hmm.
And doing the changes?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going, mm-hmm, like... You did?
Yeah, I did, 100%.
Or did the nanny do it?
No. Listen, that's not my style, mate.
You're hands-on?
Yeah. Not on stuff like that. That's what you got to go for, in my opinion. You know, some of my mates never changed the nappy. Never done the night feeds. My old man, never done the nappies, never done a night feed. But I did, and I believe you should. Because I believe that it's hard work for your other half. And I think if you can give them a rest, give them a breather, it's not the end of the world, is it? So what, you got to wake up and I'm up anyway. You got to get up in the night and feed your, you know, bottle feed your child. So what? Something you go through.
Well, I've done them every night, so I'm pulling my weight. So
good, and I, you know, I'm happy for you, mate. I'm happy for you. You look all right. You look quite fresh. You look better than me.
Yeah, but you've just had a long week in the bubble, mate.
Didn't sleep at all. I can never, ever sleep after shows. I've never been more motivated about boxing. And I can't explain to you how it engrosses me and my mind. So much so to the point where, like, shit. After a show like that, literally, I just can't. I cannot sleep. I can't stop thinking about things. Can't stop thinking about the next show, the next fights we're trying to make. And we're on such a great run of fights and matchmaking. We've got to continue it. And like, you know, I said to the guys today, send me the March 20 card. Trying to look at it again, make sure we've got the right opponents for it. But, you know, and I know that we've had a couple of defeats in the last couple of weeks, but this is how it's got to be. If you're not good enough, you won't win. But it's got to be competitive. It's got to be enthralling. And I think we've got a great model now. Hopefully we can keep that going and we can continue to change the sport. But the great news to fight fans is I have never, ever, ever been as motivated as I am now. Honestly. Just, I absolutely love it, mate. I love it. And I'm so lucky to work in this sport. We all are. And we're so lucky to be around these fighters because... It's a tough game, mate. And we've got to make sure they get everything that we promised them. We've got to make sure they make every penny they can, you know, and we look after them. We're honest with them. And we pay them on time. And we don't lie to them because fighters get taken advantage of in this horrible game. So big respect to all the fighters worldwide because without them, there's no sport. And they need to be respected and rewarded. And now I'm going to go and do a Peloton. And then I'm going to go and have Sunday lunch.
Edward, absolute. You're one of the favourites on IFL, if you didn't already know.
Well, I'm basically single-handedly keeping your channel alive during the pandemic.
Bit strong, but, you know.
But
You do consistently do good numbers. Consistently.
You know me, mate. I'm a numbers guy.
All about the numbers. Eddie, thank you very much for your time this Sunday morning.
Cheers, everyone. I hope you have a great Sunday. I hope you have a great week ahead. I'm not really one of those people that goes, you know, wants to do an Insta post in the morning game. Come on, it's Monday, guys. Smash it. Let's take the week by the other. But stay positive. Keep grafting. Keep grinding. Oh, Boris is out tomorrow night. I think we're going to get some good news. The end is near, right? Mm-hmm. So roll your sleeves up, put some cold water on your face and get ready to rumble. Let's go to it. Love what you do. Have a passion for what you do. Wake up every morning with a fire in your belly. Because I do. It's the greatest feeling in the world.
Thank you very much, Eddie. And Andy will be out in Miami. So he'll
catch will he? He's a boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
All righty. See you guys. Happy Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.